Hello, and welcome to From the Rookery End, the end of a week. End of a week with seven new, brand new points after three great wins. Oh, not great wins, great games against Sheffield Wednesday. I missed that one. Don't know if you heard on last week's podcast. We were in Stockholm. A midweek win away at Swansea. More about an away win in a bit. And, of course, this weekend's home 2-2 draw against Millwall. My name is John. With me this Monday evening is Mike.
Do you know what, John? I'm almost glad we didn't make it three wins out of three, because I just don't think we'd have known what to do with ourselves, would we? Watford win three games in a row, almost unheard of. They've sort of brought us back down to earth a little bit, but a decent week that. Good evening, John.
Good evening. It's enough of a down, not too much of a down, but it's a bit of a down. That's, yeah, the perfect balance. And the Brigadier, Colin Mace.
Good evening. Hello, John. How are you?
Well, you know, it's been a week since we got back to Stockholm. But it was great to be back at Vicarage Road with everybody, pre-game, post-game as well, of course. But you, Colin, you know, you watched all those games. You went and took the trip down to Swansea. In those 8 days, in those three games, what is it you seeing improving in this squad? What is it that you're liking about them a bit more since the international break?
Well, I think if you compare the first half against Sheffield Wednesday, which was unutterably dull, I actually had a nap halfway through the first half, 10 nap with my mate laughing at me taking photographs. It was so boring. But then in the second half, he made some changes. He changed at half time. And then we started to play with a bit more intensity and then brought on a Spreer at the end for Ince, who was really playing well. And when he came on, I was like, oh, why are you taking him off? He actually looks our most threatening player. And a Spreer comes on, and within like 10 seconds he's danced across the box and slotted it in the corner. And so you thought, oh, well, that's interesting. You know, here it is Saturday, we've got the win against the team at the bottom of the league. We made slightly heavy weather of it, but you sensed the improvement between the first half and second half. So I was interested to see whether we would take that on. And I went with Oliver Wicken and his son. We drove down to Swansea and we had a nice curry, actually, in Morriston. Parked the car, walked to the ground. And we had a very interesting conversation in the car about where we are as a club and how we should deal with that as fans. There's a lot of disgruntlement, obviously, about the ownership, about the finances, about the players' attitude, about where we are in the league. Obviously, we were like 18th or 19th at one point before this week. So, but it was interesting. And Ollie was saying some quite interesting things. He said, you know, there's a lot of Watford fans coming to Swansea saying, we should beat these, you know, we should win this game. Watford should beat this team. And it was like, well, they've won four of their last five and we haven't won an away game for 10 months. So why do people have that feeling? And is that to do with our recent history? Because 5 years ago we were, you know, we were dancing around the Premier League, beating, you know, some of the big teams. So it might be something to do with that. Anyway, that's all slightly beside the point. Just wanted to make that point a little bit. And I feel like I've gone through that process of checking my expectation, checking my entitlement, and understanding that the players that play for us at the moment are the players that we can actually afford. And what we hope is that they will play wholeheartedly for the badge, for the shirt, for each other and for us. And we didn't see a lot of that last season, to the point where I just couldn't really bear to come and watch them because they didn't look like they could care less. And we've seen a bit of that. But slowly but surely, I think the boat is turning. The first half against Swansea, again, we were very cautious. We let them walk the ball up to the halfway line. Couldn't understand why. But then in the second half, again, we picked up the pace. We started to press them in their own half and we made them look very poor in the second half. And eventually Ken came on and got his wonder goal. But what really impressed me, what impressed upon me emotionally, was not the match itself, because it was a fairly ordinary game of football in the Championship with a wonder goal. Backman made two very good saves right at the death from set pieces, where we don't look very good. Let's be clear, we don't look very good at set pieces at the moment. But what happened after the game was really interesting. So even the players who'd been subbed off, they ran from the dugout all the way up to where we were at the, you know, in the away end, and they were dancing, and Kone was screaming, literally screaming, and they were dancing up and down, hugging each other. Backman came over with his gloves. He ran from the dugout with his spare gloves and gave them to a child, and they were singing. We all stayed in the ground. We were all like, "Well, we've won now. Let's get home. It's a hell of a long way home."
Yeah, thanks for celebrating, lads. We need to get home. Yeah.
Yeah. So it felt like, oh, okay. I haven't seen that for a really long time. Okay, we won a game away from home for the first time in 10 months. Quite a lot of those players weren't at the club, I don't think. Or they, I know, you know, who knows? But And it's been a long haul for the fans who go away and for the players. So that was, they got that off their backs and they celebrated it. But it also looked like, oh, these players actually want to be here. They want to be with each other. They want to be at the club and they want to win football matches. And then we went into the Millwall game and I'm thinking, please, please don't go back and play this kind of terribly cautious first half. And to be fair, they didn't do that. And the good thing, again, that really struck me about the game at Millwall, maybe we'll talk about that later, the players who started at Sheffield Wednesday didn't start at Millwall because Kone started and Asprilla started. And you thought, OK, this can we play with that intensity in the first half? We got a lucky first goal, but we seemed to play with a togetherness. Players wanting the ball, wanting to try and get the ball forward into dangerous areas. You had Ngakia and Asprilla linking up quite well on the right-hand side. So there was like, you could see the result of that celebration came into the performance on the Saturday against Millwall. And ironically, of course, in many ways, our best overall performance was a 2-2 draw, whereas the two performances previously were not necessarily as good, but we won those games with single goals and keeping clean sheets. So there are a couple of players I don't think... Hold on, sorry, let me just finish. A couple of players at the club that I think we need to talk about maybe whether they want to be with us. But the majority of that team seem like they really are beginning to believe in themselves, have more confidence. I think there's been some improvement in those three games. And I think we're beginning to see a bit of togetherness. I think we're beginning to see the beginning of a relationship between the team and the fans, which needs repairing after last season. So all in all, John, I think there are reasons to be optimistic. But what does that optimism mean? If you think it means we're going to get in the top six and go up to the Premier League, that's not the optimism I'm feeling. I'm feeling like I'm going to go and watch a team that wants to play in the shirt, that wants to try hard, wants to try and win. That's all the optimism I've got. I haven't got any grander plans.
The optimism of going to some football matches and not leaving leaving more than happy than you are miserable, I suppose. Mike, what about you? Where in terms of this team, where do you think it is? What is it that's starting to improve? Is it as Colin thinks? Is it belief, or is it the tinkering of the lineups and the players that Val's been doing? That's not again. You always feel weird. Things are better. I'm not saying they're amazing, anything like that. But where do you think it is starting to sort of feel more together?
I think what's happened quite clearly is that Valerian Ismail has abandoned the style of play that he clearly wanted to play at the start of the season. At the start of the season, we thought that might bear a little bit of fruit and we were prepared to sort of hang on in there and take the mistakes that were inevitably going to happen. But the positives of that style of play, of that approach, soon disappeared almost entirely, didn't they? And we were just getting worse and worse with each passing week. And I think Valerian Ismail has sort of, and Colin sort of alluded to it there, has reverted to type in a degree, and it's just a lot more sort of attritional in terms of the football we're playing. Not every time, because as Colin said, the Millwall game was much more sort of us on the front foot. But I think he's changed his style of play. I think he's had to adapt because he's recognised he hasn't got the players at his he hasn't got the players available to play the way he wanted to, and has changed. And I think when you change a system or when you change an approach, presumably they'd been building up to working to playing that way throughout the summer. You know, he joined right at the start of the summer and had a long pre-season that was spoken about a lot, had 9 weeks together with the majority of the squad. They've changed that, and that takes some doing. So I don't think it's going to be the prettiest football, certainly away from home. I think it's going to be a very pragmatic approach, almost. Rope-a-dope is probably oversimplifying it a little bit, but Cole mentioned it there. We sort of allowed Swansea to sort of play themselves out a little bit, and then we ramped up our performance in the second half and were able to hit them on the counter with that one bit of quality, which we've said so often is the difference in the Championship. If you have got that one bit of quality, or so many times, that can be the difference between a draw and a win, when we were able to do that. So I think what they're doing is they're adapting to the new style of play, the slightly more pragmatic style of play, and with that, it's coming back a little bit of confidence and belief, which looked to have deserted them all almost entirely, didn't it? It's sort of that Leeds game was the peak of that, I think, where they just looked absolutely sort of bereft of confidence and belief. And when you've got a little bit of confidence back, it allows, it works really nicely in tandem with all the stuff that Colin has quite rightly pointed out in terms of them wanting to be there, playing for each other, playing for the shirt, trying to rebuild the relationship with the supporters, which we can't dance around. It has been and still is pretty fractured, really. And I did just want to get Cole's just a very brief mention of what the atmosphere was like at Swansea, because I think it was 350 people went there, and it must have been more in hope than expectation. But ultimately, I think it's they're finding their feet again. And I think the majority of them want to be there. The majority of them look like they know what they're supposed to be doing. And some of those players are really starting to look better in the last week to 10 days, I think. And that is reason for us to be hopeful. I mean, look, we're still only 15th, I think it is, in the table. Had we hung on for that, had we got the win we probably deserved on Saturday, we'd be 10th, 11th, 12th, which would be a lot more healthy and suitably clear of the bottom three for us to sort of move on to the next step of thinking about what this season could be. But I think they've turned around a rotten run of form. They've got the monkey off the back of that away win. And I do not think you can underestimate what belief and confidence means to a side that struggled, to a club that struggled, really, for the best part of, well, for two seasons and for large portions of this. And it's Cole's absolutely right to make the point, and you, John, that going to the football is fun again. You know, Watford should have beaten Millwall. It wasn't going to win any beauty contests, but it was another absorbing encounter, which I am down for. I love it. A sort of nip and tuck, ebb and flow of it was absolutely absorbing, and that I find it brilliant. I think those Championship games can be absolutely brilliant, and I think the more performances like that we get, I mean, stating the obvious, the more we can start, dare I say, relaxing a little bit and just enjoying it a little bit, and not sort of looking for the what's happening, what's going to happen next, why didn't this happen, why has that not happened yet, just going and enjoying it a little bit. And seeing a team which obviously is limited in terms of quality, but is actually performing to the best of its ability with a smile on its face, with a bit of snap in the tackle and a bit of joie de vivre going forward. And they've got, we'll talk about the Millwall game now, and there's obvious deficiencies, but at least they look like a team again. At least that we look like a club again. And I think the biggest thing for me, Colin hit the nail on the head, repairing that relationship with the supporters. Everyone has a slightly different relationship with the club and supports the team in different ways. But I think we can all get on board with performances like we saw on Saturday, the second half on against Sheffield Wednesday and Swansea. It just feels like we've turned the tanker around, we've got the anchor down, we're pointing in the right direction. Now it's time to sort of just tinker with the engine a bit and make sure we've got enough fuel on board to send us forward and up the table a little bit.
I absolutely love these maritime metaphors. I love them. I absolutely love them. Get the sail up.
See, I think it was interesting that you haven't really, neither of you sort of really pinpointed anything in particular. But for me, it comes to the midfield. I think, Colin, you said on the WhatsApp group, you talked about how there's great swappability in all the players. And, you know, when a substitute happens now, things are a little more light for light. We'll talk about the timing of those substitutes in a second. But that the midfield, you know, there are many different combinations, but it feels like recently, you know, it is Kayembe, it is Livermore. They weren't there at the beginning of the season. They weren't starting in that midfield. You know, Kone is getting more time, and he is, you know, he's still got his peaks and troughs, his more engaged, his more influential performances. But do you think Kayembe and Livermore, Colin, have added, you know, what we need in that midfield, rather than Tondeli Bashiru and Loser trying to be this ultra creative? And basically, I don't think they're industrial enough, but these two are.
Yeah, I mean, well, you need a number six. And in the past, we've had some good ones. We had Will Hughes was converted into that role, and he did very well for us when he was playing in that sort of deep-lying midfield in front of the back four. And you need a player like that in the Championship because you need someone that can sniff trouble and also, you know, snuff out danger and drop into the back line, particularly if you're going to send your fullback. So you have to have a midfielder that's willing to to tackle and track and read the game well, and he does all those things, to drop into between the two centre halves if that's necessary, so that the fullbacks can get forward. So you go from a four effectively into a three, and he is getting fit. He hasn't been fit, obviously, and he didn't look fit when a week ago. He looked more fit in the Millwall game than he did in the Sheffield Wednesday game. But he seems to be a key player. He's also very experienced. There's something else maybe we could look at is how the squad now is being assembled with a certain amount of experience, players like Ince and Livermore and Backman. And then you've got some youngsters who really want to try and prove themselves in Espria and Martins and Kone to some extent. But really, I thought the change happened when Kone came on. Because in that first half against Sheffield Wednesday, and I don't know if you want to talk about this now, but Tom Delibashiri's performance in that first half against Sheffield Wednesday was just abject. And the reason I would say that, and I don't like criticising players or calling them out, but if you're not willing to work off the ball, then you shouldn't be in the team. Because it's a championship, and it's true of any team. When I watched the Manchester derby yesterday, half those Manchester United players couldn't be bothered to track back, couldn't be bothered to tackle or put pressure on the ball. And he does this thing, Bashiru, which drives me literally apoplectic. A player's got the ball, a Sheffield Wednesday player's got the ball, he's running into our half with it, and Tom Delibashiru is jogging alongside him. He's not getting in front of him, making him turn. He's not putting a tackle in. He's not putting his arm on his shoulder. He's just running along with the ball. And I don't understand that. That was a problem for me. When Kone came on, when Chuck Fatadze came on, they both wanted the ball. They had more energy. And they put pressure on the ball. And that's why we came out of that game with a win. I agree with you. Kone is limited. Kiembe has his limitations. But you have to have players in that midfield area who, when we haven't got the ball, are trying to get it back. They're trying to put in tackles. They're trying to force players to turn around and pass it backwards, forcing them into making mistakes by pressurising not just one of you, but one, two, three, when someone's got the ball and they're not looking like they know what to do with it. Get in there. And those players that you've just mentioned in Kiembe and Kone and Livermore, They seem to want to do that, whereas Imran Luza likes it when he's got the ball, but is he working hard enough off the ball? I certainly don't think Tom Delibashiru is, and that's why I'm assuming he wasn't in the squad on Saturday. I know he missed the team meeting, but he was dropped for one game, the Swansea game, but he wasn't even in the squad on Saturday. Something's going on there, and if it's an attitude problem, then that has to be sorted out. And I trust Valerin to do that because he's shown his mettle in that regard. But you need players in that midfield that want to pressurise the ball. They want to get the ball. They want to use the ball when they've got it. They want outlets. And we have that out wide on both flanks. So those central three midfielders are there to win the ball and get it into dangerous areas. And so obviously Imran Luza has enormous quality. We know that. But yeah, he has to want to put the effort in as well. You've got to earn the right to make that pass, to get your applause.
I do wonder if that has what, to answer John's question, I wonder if that is what's changed, that the penny's dropped. There has been some high-profile situations with discipline. Some lesser players, some greater players have been dropped for disciplinary reasons. Tom Delibashiru was dropped and hasn't got back in, as you say, Colin. Luza was dropped for disciplinary reasons against Blackburn, and now he finds himself on the bench, doesn't he? I just wonder whether it's no coincidence, perhaps, that some of these players aren't getting picked, and all of a sudden, all the good stuff we're talking about, you know, the commitment, the effort, the looking like they mean it, has happened as well. Perhaps the penny has dropped, and this sort of did see a few question marks about this continuing desire to punish players who are struggling with discipline, if it affects the team. But ultimately, I think it's for the benefit of the team, because it shows you just can't muck about. You're either in or you're not. And, you know, you've talked about Tom Delibashiru there, Colin. He got a bad rap, I think, at Reading before the injury as well. He got himself a little bit of a reputation there. Imran Luza is coming off the bench despite potentially, arguably, being the best player at the club, or certainly in the top three. And I just wonder whether that finally, after what feels like an age, that the penny has dropped for these lads, that when you go out there, well, not even when you go out there, when you turn up for training and you've got that Watford tracksuit on, that Watford badge on, you are giving of your best from start to finish, whether it's training, whether it's your stretching, whether it's pre-match, whatever it is. perhaps that penny has finally dropped, and perhaps that is what has changed. And perhaps you're right, John. It is that midfield that is the catalyst for the better performances.
Because I was trying to get you to come to the realisation that the most important player currently at Watford is Kayembe. Because Livermore, great, brilliant. But actually him and Sirauta could easily swap over. Kone, a bit hit and miss. Who has come into this team? Who is the one that has made that midfield a little bit more robust? It's Kayembe. I'm only joking, of course. But I think what you're saying about
he's
loser...
He's been good, John.
Oh, absolutely, good, John. Yeah, yeah. But I'm talking about, like, I think where loser and maybe where the team was sort of falling over is everything you've sort of said about him. We all thought he was going to be the man this year. But whatever it is, maybe his attitude, what's going on with him or whatever it is in life, in and around training, he isn't giving that leadership vibe. Is it someone like Kembe doing it? I doubt it. But who it is got to be Big Ken. He's the one who's been around the place a bit more. That positivity, that greatness that we love of King Ken. Great piece today in the Mirror by Mike Walters about Ken and everything he sort of stands for, the club stand for. And it really feels like, actually, even though he's not the most important player, even though he did score the goal against Swansea, he isn't that most important player for to get the win. But actually, his attitude, his values,
the levels,
the levels he's putting in, and those are back in that training. That, I think, is being probably the biggest turning point for me. And that gives the leadership, and that gives the space almost for those younger players, the Kones, the Espriers, the Martins, to not feel like it's all on them. Because losers not necessarily stepping up and being their leader. It really feels like that was the most important part for me.
Yeah, I think it goes back a little bit to the blend between experience and youth. If you're Martins, and he had a difficult game at Swansea, they triple teamed him. When he was obviously identified as a threat, as soon as he got the ball, they were on him. They were all over him, and he couldn't get out, he couldn't escape, he couldn't find space, and eventually he comes off and Semmer comes on, and Semmer's just a big old bully and bullies them and gets the ball and gets the goal. But if you're in training, someone young like Martins, who really wants to prove himself and be that next Brazilian, if you like, off the cab rank that might break into the national side like Richarlison has done, you're watching Ken, you're watching his attitude in training, and you're watching him turn up half an hour early, you know, to make sure he's there on time. And you think, that's what I need to do. I need to be that good at everything else, not just on the pitch. And so I think that's good. I think Espria is the same. I think Ince is an experienced player. I know his career has been very checkered, but when you watch him play, there's definitely a quite elegant, classy player in there. It's just about consistency with him. But again, if you're Espria and then you've got someone like Livermore walks over to you in training, puts his arm around you and says, come on, Yasser, pick it up, pick up the pace, son. Let's have some more intensity. That's what you need at a football club. You need the old heads, you know, bringing through and giving that the right attitude to these young players. So they say, I want to be like him. I want to do what he does. Look at him go in training. He never stops. He's like, you know, so that's important. And I think that will breed a kind of confidence and togetherness. So, yeah, I think Ken is absolutely vital. I think he's vital, and more so now than ever before. And he's proving it on the pitch, which is brilliant.
And there's three games, Mike. You know, two clean sheets and the draw, letting two goals. You know, I feel like I have to give you a little bit of a go, Mike. Do you think we've seen a bit of change. We know it hasn't been great. I feel like it feels a little bit like Backman. You know, it feels like he's a little bit more comfortable. I'm not saying he's ultra comfortable kicking that ball around and passing it across the back of the team. But defensively, two set pieces, muscled out of it quite a lot. It wasn't, that was our downfall from on the weekend. But simply we did have two clean sheets prior to that.
Yeah, more by luck than judgment, I think. And Swansea scored. It was ruled out rightly, and I think
Push was it?
Yeah, there was a block, wasn't there? I think in the build up to stop the Watford defender getting across. But Millwall had two corners on Saturday, and they scored from both of them. I mean, the first one was it was recycled from the corner. In fairness, but Watford had chances, a multitude of chances to get the ball away, and failed to do it. There's no way that they should be having that chance when we've had the ball at our feet to either get rid of it, put it out, whatever. They weren't able to deal with it, and ultimately Fleming scored with the header shortly after we'd gone ahead, which was disappointing. And then at the other end of the match, bookending the game. Two corners they had, which shows, and their only threat was set pieces.
Mm.
Hurton, Sierralta. Sierralta, who I think has looked pretty good since he's gone back into that centre back berth, got themselves into a mix up and allowed Harding to score completely unchallenged. People would point the finger at Dan Backman, but it was very, very close to him. I don't think you've got much of a chance when someone's meeting a corner on the full with a header from, 4 yards? If that's the job of your defenders, to get you've got two hulking great centre-backs for a reason. Get your head on it and get it clear. And we failed to do it. And not only did they score twice from corners, shortly after they went ahead, they nearly went 3-1 up from a free kick launched into the box. And if it wasn't for blooming Reese Healy, of all people, who somehow managed to head the ball onto the bar and allow us to clear it, we would have been 3-1 down and really having a very, very different and difficult discussion today, because the head top of the agenda would have had to have been the defence. Because even had we lost that game 3-3 to whatever we might have got, we probably still should have won it, because we were so significantly better in terms of what we brought to the table, in terms of what we were able to deliver as a footballing side. We looked better in attack, which is saying something. And Millwall's only threat was set pieces. But every time they got one, we looked like we're going to be in trouble. Two corners, conceded twice, nearly went 3-1 down from a free kick. And it's an issue, and they've got to sort it out. And I've been critical of Ryan Porteous in recent weeks. I think he's been too rash. He sort of commits himself, and it's sort of like, oh, I've made some good tackles in this game, I'm going to go and sort of try and win a sort of Hollywood tackle here. And he gets found out halfway up the pitch, and the other team gets in. So I've been critical of him. I said, Sierralta has actually looked all right since he's come back in. Wesley Hurt is up and down. So it's kind of, we know what we've got in terms of personnel. They've just got to knit together much better, and they've just got to be far more dominant. You know, Hurt is experienced, he's big. Sierralta isn't afraid of a challenge. He's experienced, he's a big old boy. He doesn't mind getting his head in, as we saw on Saturday. He had to be patched up a number of occasions, didn't he? But he kept on going. You know, he's not going to take a backward step. But the reality is, when the analytics team are going in on the Sunday morning or the Monday morning, they're going to be shaking their head, and the defensive unit is going to know that they're in for a tough time. They've just got to sort it out.
Colin, is that because we're zonal marking and not man-to-man marking? Do you think there's a certain thing about that where it's not them, it's the system with those set pieces? Is there a better way that they could, you know, set up? Is it?
Be nice if we were marking at all, either zonally or individually, frankly. I mean, it's a real problem. And if I was the Huddersfield manager, I'd be working in training saying, you've got to try and pick up fouls, win fouls near, you know, within the range of the box, because they are weak at set pieces and we are weak at set pieces. And I don't know, I don't think we zonal mark from free kicks, but we do seem to have a long line of players all in a row. I don't particularly like it. Marco Silva brought that to the club, and we conceded goals from set pieces. You see clubs that do a kind of mixture of the two. So you've got like three players in a row just on the eight yards out or 6 yards out or wherever they choose to. And then you've got other players who float and pick up players individually. But whatever it is, and I'm not an expert on defensive coaching, it's not working. And I suspect it's partly to do just with the player's ability, that they make mistakes. And we, you know, we've seen it with a lot of our defenders. You know, all defenders make mistakes. Of course they do, because it's an incredibly hard job. But at the moment, it's our real Achilles heel. It just looks like any high ball into the box, we don't look comfortable dealing with it. And that might be the personnel. I'm with Mike. I'm not sure about Porteous. I know he goes and plays for Scotland and everyone thinks he's great. I think he, of the three, I'm not even going to include Matty Pollock in this conversation, but of the three, I think Hooton and Sierralta are the better of those three. But I know when we played a three against Middlesbrough, when he played all three of them, it was an absolute disaster, because they left enormous gaps between each other, and when Middlesbrough walked the ball through us. So I think a back four is right. I think now we've got Livermore up and fit and playing, and hopefully he played for 90 minutes on Saturday. Hopefully he can, you know, he can keep doing that. Maybe that will help. But I think it's just about training ground. It's about just drilling, drilling, drilling. What do we do? What do we do? And making sure they know their jobs. Don't panic. You know, the first goal was just panic. They just didn't clear the lines. It's bouncing around in the box, and eventually the lad just heads it in at the far post. That shouldn't happen. It's a corner. Okay, if someone gets up and beats you to it and heads it into the net, that's okay. You can kind of live with that. If the striker does it right and he gets in front of you, you can say, well, I shouldn't have let him get in front of me, but he jumped and I couldn't get, and I was under him and I couldn't, you know. But when it's like not cleared two or three times, it's bouncing around. It's like, that cannot happen.
It looked like it was going to be a battle of who can be the least worst defensively was going to come out on top, wasn't it? Which is not good. John, can I just shock you? On the plus side, that's right, on the plus side.
Can I just say to everybody, we do joke all the time about Michael being a bit too negative about things, but he has the most positive outlook on life that many of us have. We don't get it across on this podcast enough. He is a very positive person. Go on, Mike, go on then.
I thought, and I was really impressed with Ngakia.
Well, I was going to say, because he's played the full 90 minutes, and we talked about these young players, Colin mentioned them, taking opportunities. Yep. He seems to be a player who's sort of taking these opportunities. Again, maybe it's his whole thing because he's been around Watford a long time. He's seen how quickly the managers change. Now they sort of know that Valerian is going to be around, and the chance of him going are far, far less than previous managers, even though I'm sure that can change quite quickly, Gino. He's actually, it seems to be a little bit more, his head's together a bit more and a bit more purposeful.
I think he's just worked at it, John. I just think he's kept his nut down and he's kept going.
But you know what I mean? You know, we said about João Pedro going to Brighton. What's great, he's going to go and have a manager, consistent manager, and that will make him a better player. What Ngakia has had in his entire time at Watford is not a consistent manager.
Yep.
So actually now he's having consistency to know what he's... Not just because, I know he's not going to go, so I'm going to have to work hard. Maybe I said that in the wrong way. But he knows what the system is and he knows his role and he knows he's now starting to thrive in this... in that role, and he's like grabbing the opportunity. I just want him to get a goal in the top corner from he cut in, it'll sweet in the top corner, and it'll be the perfect game for Jeremy. But he is improving massively, isn't
he? And I think it's down to courage. I think you know, it's courage and it's confidence given to him by the coach saying, it's all right, you can cross the halfway line and, you know, get it to Asprey. And if you want to run past him and let Asprey get it back to you, you can do that. We've got players that can cover you down that side if you get forward, and that's how you create overloads. That's how you put fullbacks under pressure. It's how you draw centre backs out to try and cover, or mid, you know. So it's just about confidence. He hasn't always wanted to go because he thinks, God, if I go and then they come down that side and cross it and they score, then I'm going to look like I was out of position. But you need a coach that says, no, that's okay. That's my responsibility. I want you to link with Asprey. I want you to work together on the training pitch to work out what your patterns of play are. And on Saturday, they linked up really well, I thought, at times, and did put that left fullback of Millwall under quite a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I think that word courage is apt, because I think he has struggled. He has bombed on a fair bit this season, and he's found himself in really, really decent positions and then has either hesitated or the final ball hasn't been up to much. So he's basically got into really good positions, and then I'm sure he'd be the first to admit, balls it up, quite frankly. And if you keep doing that, that's difficult, because you think, well, I think I'm a right back, it's probably a little bit safer if I just do this and we'll let one of the other lads do it. And we know that footballers do that. And again, it comes down to confidence. And I just think he looks... courage is a great word, Cole. I think he looks like he's coming out of himself a little bit. And it may well be, John, that it's the managerial style of Valerian Ismail, I suspect, is very, very good as a man manager, I think. I can imagine him coaxing the best out of some of the players who we might think are a little bit potentially more timid.
He's got that lovely sort of growly, bassy voice, which must be very calming when speaking to a player one-on-one. I think that'd be a good thing for him.
And on the other side, I think someone else who might be benefiting from Valerian Ismail, taking a little bit longer to see these sort of green shoots with him, but is Jamal Lewis. I think the first game he came on as a sub, I can't remember, his debut for Watford, we're like, right, he looks like a proper defender. He looks like a footballer. Everything hangs right with him. He moves well. He passes. Mm. He clips the ball nicely. Tackle. And then he fell off a cliff, really, I thought. I thought he looked really poor, along with the rest of the side, in fairness. And then I thought this Saturday against Millwall, he played the full 90 minutes, and I thought he was a participant, and he was an active participant throughout. He defended well, and he was getting forward deep into the game. And I thought when Martins came on in particular,
the two of them really sort of sparked off each other, didn't they?
Built up a head of steam, which was exactly when it was needed, because in that second half we ground to a halt. We didn't get going after what was a really positive first half. We earned that first goal. Aspria gambled, got the rebound from a Kayembe shot. We've given him credit earlier, so he probably doesn't get a technical assist, but he does get an assist for the goal, really, because he fired it in and it caused the rebound and all that. Aspria should have put us 2-1 up. Point blank save from the keeper, incredible save from very, very close range. So I thought it was a really, really decent first half from us, apart from the defensive woes that we've already spoken about. But then we just didn't get going at all in the second half. There was the long injury to Sierra. And when we needed that little bit of spark, it did come, I felt, down the left with Jamal Lewis linking up with Martins, and of course, ultimately the equalising goal with Luza getting down the left and getting the ball in. So whilst the centre backs have got some work to do, and they are going to make mistakes, because as Colin said, we've all said they're limited, I think Ngakia was good. I think Lewis was good as well. And I think there's a question about whether Ryan Andrews gets back in. We've talked about discipline. I still think it was a harsh sending off personally, but he's been sent off, and then he's kicked the water bottle. It's ended up in the crowd. Again, that's an accident, but it's that little bit of petulance that's given him an extra match ban, which again is harsh, but that is what it is. And we're talking about discipline, and we're talking about pretty fine margins with getting the best out of this team and this squad. It's talking about having an arm around Jeremy Ngakia. I think Ryan Andrews is a better footballer, but in terms of what Jeremy Ngakia has evidently worked hard to get to where he is, his performances are improving. Arguably his best performance of the season, I would have said, on Saturday, to take that away from him is difficult. So I think for Valerian Ismail to have that headache, that head scratcher, is really good, and that's a positive about our defensive situation at the moment. And with the change in midfield, things are looking good. We just need to sort it out up top, don't we?
Can I add one more thing, John, about Saturday? And it's something that I was worried about as I walked to the ground, because I've been to a few Watford Millwall games, including the one in the Cup a few years ago, and the one last season where poor old loser broke his leg, his ankle. They've often bullied us physically, and they've often come either to Vicarage Road or at their place, and they've got up in our faces, and they've made it, you know, and we've kind of wilted under their physical kind of dominance. And on Saturday, I thought that didn't happen. They tried it. I mean, there was one tackle on Aspria. It wasn't even a tackle. He had the ball out wide on the right in front of the Elton John stand. He had a player with him who was trying to get the ball off, and this other player just ran up and body charged him into the barrier. And that's the sort of thing that they've done to us in the past, to sort of scare us a little bit and thinking, oh, I've got to get rid of it because I'm going to get tackled in a minute. But I thought what was good was that we stood up to them, but the way we avoided being bullied was that we just moved the ball a lot quicker. So, you know, they tried to, you could see them sprinting to close someone down, and they just moved the ball out to the right or out to the left. And then that run, that energy that had been expended by the Millwall player was purposeless. And then we just kept moving it, trying to move it to stop that kind of physical, take away their physical advantage, because they are a big physical side. And I was really pleased to see that. And I thought, again, that's got to be either down to the players collectively or down to the coaching and the training saying, look, they will come at us physically. They will try to intimidate, move the ball quickly. They won't be able to. And we did that. And I found that to be a positive.
We mentioned earlier on about the 60-minute changes. And I was thinking about this on Saturday very quickly when it happened. Everything takes a step back slightly. You know, any momentum that we might have continued from the first half, we didn't necessarily show that in the second half. And the crowd got really frustrated at how things started to go wrong, and it felt like it was unravelling. But did you feel, because this is what I felt, that it took about 5-10 minutes, but actually, making the change at 60 made that our last 20 minutes from 70 onwards, we were actually back on the front foot. Rather than trying to scrabble around, rather than trying to make a change, that change, then change that player. The only thing I didn't like about the substitutes this weekend was the fact that they took off, Asprilla came off for Martins, and that put Ken on the wrong side. It all sorted itself out when Ince came on, of course. And that just that little bit of disjointedness. And it, but by the time we got to 70 minutes, it started to settle and we started to get ourselves back into that game. So even though we don't like this massive change at once, it did feel, for the first time for me, actually, it got us in a much better place, ready for the end of the game. Do you think the same?
I think that's what you're saying. I think potentially saying that with hindsight, John, which is fine, which is
why I remember seeing it and going, this is really annoying. This is going, we're going backwards. I remember that. I'm not, that wasn't in hindsight. But then it was at 70 minutes, it did start to come together.
Yeah, this is why we've decided to do the podcast on a Monday and not straight after the game, because it gives us a chance to look at it and to assess the piece in with a clear head. And at the time, I was like, oh, that is a huge amount of change with half an hour left to go in the game. The second half hadn't started well for us, and it's my initial thought was that lacks a bit of patience for me. Collins mentioned about the Sheffield Wednesday game and the Swansea game where we started poorly but grew into it. And I do think that we had enough quality on the pitch to be better than Millwall. That's what I felt at the time. We were better than them in most areas of the pitch. I thought Bayo was a willing runner. He charged down a goalkeeper clearance at moments before. And I thought him coming off for Rajovic was problematic because we know that Rajovic doesn't have the same dynamism that Bayo has, which is limited in itself, of course. I thought Kone was having one of his better games, and Asprilla is that little lightning in a bottle that anything can happen. We saw against Sheffield Wednesday, for example. He nearly had two on Saturday. He got one. So I just felt that it was a premeditated switch up, and it felt to me that he's decided that's what he's going to do to bring on fresh legs, almost like a rugby substitution. And I thought it smacked of impatience personally at the time, but I think having had time to consider it, I think you're probably right, John. And yes, we switched Ken Semmer, but he was proving to be ineffective in that second half. I think they'd got wise to him a little bit and were shutting him down. So perhaps the switch there made sense. And you're probably right in as much as it enabled us to sort of reset and build up that head of steam and do what Colin was talking about there, keep the ball moving and actually be patient after that reset. Because if you look at the equalising goal, crossed by Martha, crossed by Loser, headed in by Rajovic, two of the three substitutes that came on the hour. So when you look at the stats and the facts and figures of the game, you can't argue that it was a successful substitution. I still potentially think it's perhaps a bit early in the game, because it does seem to happen pretty much regimented, isn't it? It's like clockwork, these subs happen. I suspect it happens pretty regularly. And it didn't bear immediate fruit. And I was sort of thinking, well, this, when they went 2-1 up, I was like, well, this one's on Valerian Ismail, really. I think he wasn't patient enough. He tried to change too much and it looked very messy. But what actually it did do, we looked good down the left. We kept asking questions. Martins was tying them up in knots. Jamal Lewis and him were having making good progress. We know Loser is a mercurial talent. That the ball in for the goal was actually, at the time, I thought he had a lot more time than he did, and he just needed to stand it up. You just sort of stab your foot under the ball, and Rajovic did the rest. But actually, he had a great deal to do. The Millwall defender was steaming into him, and it was pretty exquisite, actually, the ball in, and obviously Rajovic did what Rajovic does. Well, Rajovic does the only thing he can do, which is head the ball towards the goal and hopefully in. So, yeah, I think you might be right, John. The way it planned out, I think Valerian Ismail probably would be happy, apart from obviously going 2-1 down. That wasn't in the script.
I'm not a fan of a triple substitution. I think it's too much, as Mike says, too much change, and it does take the team a few, even if it's like for like, And it wasn't quite like for like, because obviously Semmer had to go to the other side of the pitch. But it just feels like, it just feels like too much.
But doesn't it feel more strategic rather than, you know, knee-jerk when it's one change?
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't knee-jerk. As you say, it's premeditated. It's the idea he has is to change the dynamics in the team by bringing on three players. And you could argue, I suppose, that the opposition, they've got two choices. They either go, right, we can rest it off them now because they're going to have 5 minutes where they're all looking at each other going, I'm not quite sure where we're who. And we can rest control of the game. Or they think, blimey, they brought three players on and now who am I picking up and what am I doing? You know, so it can go either way, I suppose. I felt on Saturday that our levels dropped because the change was too much. But if they've practiced it and they know that and they know that's what's going to happen in training beforehand, in preparation for the game, then I suggest it can work. And as you say, two of them contributed to the equaliser. If I may, John, can I just talk a little bit about the two forwards? Because I know there's a lot of frustration. Neither of them are really brilliant centre-forwards. Although Bio played very well against Swansea, it was the best I'd seen him in a Watford shirt. He was a nuisance. He was running. He was, you know, he has got a bit about him. And then Rajovic comes on, and I know people around me talking about how rubbish he is. He's useless. He can't do anything. These are the two strikers we've got because fundamentally they're the strikers we can afford at this moment in our history as a club. But what the change, because the change is so dramatic from Bio to Rajovic or vice versa, it does cause the defenders a problem because Bio is all about it's on the ground to his feet, running, passing, trying to move the ball, trying to get in behind, trying to get the tap in. And Rajovic comes on and he isn't very good at holding up the ball. He hasn't got a great first touch. He doesn't, he quite often, as soon as he's not in the box or either, if he's not in between the posts, he looks lost and he's not quite sure what he should be doing. But if he stays in that position, you know, on the penalty spot between the posts with a couple of centre halves, he will score goals. And I think he's scored five now in the season so far. So I think that the combination, neither of them are really anyone to get excited about as centre forwards. You know, you want your centre forwards to be the star of the show. They're not that. But I think we can be, I think positive is maybe too positive a word, but there is something, in the combination of those two players, because they always replace each other at some point, normally around 70 or 80 minutes. And it does cause a problem for the opposition because they have to adjust. And we have scored late goals this season. You know, we've scored three late goals, if you like, this week to equalise and to win the other two games. And scoring late goals is something that Watford hasn't historically done, or at least not since the 80s. We've often conceded late goals. And so maybe this strategic change, as you say, Mike, fresh legs at 60 minutes, gives us that impetus, gives us that freshness and fitness, if you like, to play out the last 10 minutes and put them put a tiring defence under and try and get goals in the last 10, 15 minutes of the game. So, you know, it's hard. I don't like seeing three players come on. It's very counterintuitive. I mean, we've only had five subs for a couple of seasons. So, when it was three, you had to be like 3-0 down and the coach is going mental and just thinks, oh, sod it, you three go on and see if you can do anything. Yeah. Now it's not like that. Now, as you say, it's tactical. It's thought through. There's an idea behind it, hopefully, because you've still got two more you can bring on if someone gets injured or someone just looks like they've run out of legs. So I don't know. We'll see how it pans out. I mean, obviously, yeah, it's just not football as we know it, is it?
Mm-hmm. Four for Rajovic. 4-11 for me, for Rajovic. So
four, is it? I thought it was five.
So it will be soon, Carl. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Just put it on his nut. Put it on his nut and let him head it in.
We got these, you know, Mike, looking at we are this podcast will be coming out the last day of October. I've got only four games in November. We've got Huddersfield away, Rotherham at home, two teams below us currently in the league. Then we've got Leicester, who are a little bit of a little bit different from everybody else. And then Norwich, who are sort of in a very similar headspace to us. There's an opportunity here. And I don't mean just to get points, but it's everything we've talked about today. You know, the fact that the positivity and everything that we've seen and the way the players are, like you said, it wasn't the same as Swansea, but they were more than it felt like we're clapping after the game on Saturday. There's something we could cement a little bit clearer, I think, by wins away at Huddersfield and the win at home to Rotherham. the 6 points, of course, will be brilliant. But actually, on the full season, particularly going into that Leicester game, if you can go into that Leicester game and go, it doesn't matter, lads. Their Premier League side just happened to be in the Championship this year. If we're not going there worrying about just a point or something, it could be huge going into, you know, November then into December.
Totally agree, John. I think what we've given ourselves is a what are the things underneath the foundations, the pilings or whatever they're called. We've got a chance to build a foundation.
Boat analogies need to come back, Mike.
No, now we're going to the building site analogies. Yeah, I'm loving it. Yeah, get the windows in. Paint the.
I've got a little very stubby pencil in my mouth and a hard hat and a little book that I'm writing in. We've given ourselves the opportunity to now build a platform for the rest of the season. And I think this next little clutch of games, you're right to identify Huddersfield and Rotherham. I think the 6 points there for the taking, I would take four. Because then I think as if Jace was here, he'd always say, draw your away games, win your home. And I think 4 points is an entirely appropriate expectation from those two games. They're going to have to stick with it to do it. As Colin said, the Huddersfield will be working on winning free kicks, getting corners into the area, because they know that that's where we're weak. So we're going to have to stand up to the challenge. But there are two games there that we get ourselves out of the muck and bullets, don't we? We get ourselves out of the real nonsense if we can get 4 points or even six from those games. Then we go to Leicester, like you say, John, and it's the pressure's off a little bit. And who knows? We have got talented players in the squad, didn't we? Often against better sides, players like Espria, Martins, Loser, Tom Ince, if he comes on, are able to express themselves and have more an impact against better sides because of the space that is potentially afforded to them and the less sort of hectic nature of the game. But so Leicester, let's park it, but who knows? But going into that off the back of two poor results would be very, very different to going into it off the back of some decent, solid ones. All I want us to do is to build on what we've achieved this week. We've turned it round, the anchor's down, and now we're sort of, it feels like we've sort of weathered the immediate storm, at least. What we don't want to do now is turn back into it. And we've got a chance to make sure that we set a clear path away from that horrible-looking bottom of the Championship. And these next two games, if they carry on doing what they've been doing, carrying on incrementally getting better, believing in each other, believing in the boss, standing shoulder to shoulder, Colin's absolutely right to say that we stood up to the physical challenge of Millwall on Saturday. We just didn't fall for it. We didn't bow to it. We didn't bottle it like we would have done previously. And there's a lot in that. And they should be able to take courage and pride and hope into these next couple of games. We certainly can as supporters. Just more of the same will be absolutely fine for me. If they can cut out a few of the errors, great. But just more of the same in terms of that commitment, that standing shoulder to shoulder, look like they know what they're doing, look like they're actually going into battle for that badge on their left breast there, and that'll do for me. I just more of the same, and let's just keep the momentum up. It's what we've not been good at over the last couple of seasons. Whilst the going's good, because I don't want to be negative, but Colin's talked about the strikers we've got available. What if one of them gets sent off or injured? It's the same throughout the squad, really. A run of injuries or suspensions, it's going to be difficult. So I think while the momentum is there, we've got to make hay because it is a thin squad, and we will see that certainly as you move into December where the games start coming a bit thicker and faster. Let's worry about that then. But if we can finish off this week with another couple of set of good results, then I think we'll all just breathe a little bit easier. And to go back to what we said at the start of the show, we can enjoy our football again, which has been a long time coming. But I think fans who have been there for the second half of Sheffield Wednesday, the hardy few that went up to the Swansea, Col included, absolute chapeau to everyone that went there. You start raving mad, but I love each and every one of you, and you got your just desserts. And I think everyone probably that came away from Millwall will probably have enjoyed it in some way or another. And ultimately, as a football supporter, that's what you want. You want to be going, being entertained, have some talking points, have some of your players being good, some of them sort of with stuff to improve on, and on we go. And I think I think it is important. The next 2 weeks are massive, but there's no reason they can't go to Huddersfield and get something and then beat Rotherham at home. Come on, lads, over to you.
Thank you very much, Michael.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for putting up with me, as always, chaps.
And thank you, Colin.
Thank you very much, John.
We'll be back, of course, after next week's game for another From the Rookery End, where we keep sharing our lives as Watford fans of Watford Football Club. Come on, you horns!